Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I was trying to think of a word to describe the Astros taking Brianna for Orioles because of how those games went. You had a guy named John Rooney pitching yesterday. Craig Kimbrell didn't even get like an acclimation period. Hey, Craig, you available? Cool. We're going to need you to pitch on Sunday. I would go with survival. They survived that pitching staff. Their starters not giving them a lot. Until Sunday with Arrieta. You know, we left you with Jason Alexander pitching pretty well, but the combination of Christian Javier and Lance McCullers kind of gave you what you expect, at least I did. I don't know where it was going to come from, which how many innings I was going to get from one or the other, but the overall contributions from those two kind of fit in line with what I was thinking. So you needed your bullpen desperately on Saturday and Sunday, and it helped you win the first three games of that series. And then you went with a couple guys who probably barely had time to get their names put on the back of their jerseys. With John Rooney, who they called up, and then and also with Craig Kimbrell, who they signed immediately after the Rangers said, all right, we're done with you for the year. I would expect or suspect that the Astros let it be known that, hey, we'd be interested in signing you if you're available. And then I'm sure he said, hey, I don't really want to spend any more time here in Round Rock. If I got a major league spot and he got released, he signed with the Astros and he's pitching on Sunday against the Orioles. So the bats were alive for the first three. And unfortunately, when you have Arrieta giving one of his better performances of the year, didn't strike out really anyone. I mean, they made contact. Just not good contact, and he was able to work his way through and give the bullpen what they needed because they were running on fumes. It's why Rooney and Kimber were pitching yesterday afternoon. They just could not push enough runs across. They did a lot of that through the first three games of the series, and they take 3 out of 4. The Mariners do win yesterday thanks to Kyle Raleigh hitting all the home runs he continues to hit. So the lead is 2. You come out of the weekend with a 2-game lead, and you win 3 out of 4. You're going to take it. Started off great with getting to a pitcher who, and this is going back to Thursday, getting to a pitcher who nearly perfect gamed you. And the bats kept going. Christian Walker is looking pretty good. You know, Christian Walker had another weekend with multiple home runs. Jesus Sanchez, we know, on Friday, Thursday, went 5 for 5. And then he got a couple more hits throughout the weekend. So you like what you saw from the bats, and this is what we talked about. They're going to be a stretch of games where this lineup feels like no one can get them out, and then there are going to be times when no matter who the pitching staff is on the other side, they're not going to get hits. It's why I can no longer trust this team at this point. If they put together a good month of not having those stretches, maybe I'll change my mind. But at this point, I don't know what to expect once the playoffs come around. But the last couple days, we're good. And certainly as we move forward, you hope the Bats continue to use the momentum that they started on Thursday into the rest of the season. So it was good to take 3 out of 4. Good to see Arrigetti pitch better. Now, with the day off, you hope that bullpen that was taxed over the weekend get a little rest, and they'll be back in form with the Colorado Rockies coming to town. And as far as that series goes, you got Hunter Brown going, and then Fromber as well, and of course Fromber remains a question. Fromber has braids, and Lance believes if he got rid of the braids, he might pitch better. I don't know if you even call them braids. Maybe I would lean towards extensions with Fromber at this point, though, because braids, I mean, if you know, braids aren't, I don't think they're the same as what he's going with. That's a lot of extra hair Fromber's rocking with to get that look. I'm going to go with extensions, because as a man who watched, when I was a kid, watched my mother take out her braids and get braids done, Fromber's at another level, I think. Because we all remember Fromber, right, with his regular hair. That man has a whole system going on to make sure he gets the look he's looking for. I mean, that's a system. So I'm going to go with extensions. Maybe the extensions need to come out for Fromber.
Yeah, yeah. I think no matter what, I think we all are on the same page that I don't think he needs a haircut. He just needs to take those things off his head.
take those things off your head, Fromber. Yeah, maybe.
Like I agree with you. I don't think they're. I defer to you, but I also agree. I don't think they're braids. But yeah, whatever they are.
Because I don't think he put in the work to grow the hair long enough for them to be called braids.
100. No,
he didn't.
It was a couple. Was it 2022? I want to say it was either 22 or 23. He just showed, like, one start, he had normal Fromber hair. Then the next start, he had those things.
Yeah.
Just, like, he did just get them overnight. And now enough time has passed where, theoretically, he could have grown them, but not, I guess not, though.
It takes a long time to get hair of that length.
And we see him for long enough of the year that we would have seen the in-between. Yeah, so, like, I don't know. Let's go back to our roots, Fromber. Literally.
Literally, yes.
Literally, the roots.
Yeah. Whatever it takes. Now, we saw Sean Dubin. Shane. Now I
disavow him from Sean's.
Now I'm doing the thing where Lance got me calling him Shane.
If you have over a 6 ERA since returning, you got voted off Sean Island.
See, and we see with you that hair means something. Mm-hmm. You've got resplendent hair, some might say. Sean Dubin shaved the hair off his face, and he's been terrible.
Yeah.
I believe he left with the beard, and the last time I paid attention to him, he had a beard. He left because of injury. I mean, he didn't just walk away. He got hurt. And then he comes back without the facial hair, and he's terrible. He got DFA'd, which led to the likes of Rooney and Kimbrel pitching on Sunday. So a lot of hair talk. Fromber, get rid of yours. Dubin, if you want to save your career, grow out the facial hair, because I don't know you as a good pitcher without it. And unfortunately for him, he could not get it together. He didn't get the opportunity to work through his problems on the major league level like some of the starting pitchers get to do. And it led to him getting DFA'd. It's been that man, I think he left. The last time I saw him with the hair, he had an ERA under 1.5.
Yeah.
He leaves with one over 5.5, and he's no longer an Astro. Sucks, because at one point, Dubin had been going pretty good. Just that injury really was a pothole to his career, at least with the Astros. We'll see if he winds up on another team next year. But you take 3 out of 4, you get out of there, and you get the day off. Something that I think a lot of guys on that staff need. And we'll see how they come back against one of the worst teams in baseball, Colorado Rockies.
I believe the Rockies have been eliminated from postseason.
I did see that. I saw that graphic, and it was a Rocky crashing into the outfield wall.
Yeah.
Because let's just add more to it. Yes, they've been eliminated on August 25th because that really needed to be announced. It's for the bit. It's for the joke. Understood. But no one had considered the Rockies a playoff team. Well, probably for like 3 years. No one was really considering them as a part of the playoff equation, but that came out because mathematically they're officially eliminated, and they topped it off with a Rocky player missing
a fly ball and crashing into the wall. So I guess when no one respects you, that's what they do to you. And so the Astros have a chance to enhance the misery, I guess, if Rocky fans haven't already you know, centered themselves with how bad their baseball team is. The Astros have a chance to enhance that. Or now we put it in a different context. The Rockies have nothing to play for, nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. Now the playoffs are off the table. They got nothing to lose. They can
dangerous
play free.
Team. They dangerous
can,
team.
Yes, they can play free and play spoiler now that a chance at making the playoffs is off the table.
Nah, they should play for a draft pick.
I don't think that's how it works in baseball. I'm assuming they're going to be bad enough where tanking isn't something they need to even
not
try.
Not necessary at this point. They can mess around and start winning a few.
I guess. If you want to put together a 5 out of 6 run, that's fine. You're bad enough. The problem for the Rockies are none of our players – in fact, the players we would bring up might be better than the players on the active roster. So we don't want to mess things up. I think is what the Rockies, okay, how they would handle it. We don't want to mess anything up. Let's continue to go with how we're going, and we'll just be fine if the goal is to be as bad as possible.
A slow build.
Very slow.
Years in the making.
Look, it was 3 years of 100 lost baseball here. We've all been through it. It's just been so long ago that it's just a distant memory. But we know, will the Rockies have the type of decision-making that the Astros did? I don't know if there's a Jeff Luhno just lurking for the Colorado. There is a Jeff Luhno they could just hire, I guess, if you wanted a job. I just don't know that there's one.
I don't think he would take the Rockies.
I just don't know that there's one lurking in their front office that's going to fix everything for them, like Jeff Luhno helped to fix with the Astros. But that's their problem. We'll see them tomorrow, and let's hope that the Astros don't revert back to form of losing to bad teams at home. Let's not do that. Do the Rockies have a guy who's 0-6 in the ERA near 7? I'm sure they do.
I'm sure approximating that.
But let's not have that guy come in and do what the Orioles did in game. What was it, game one of that series that happened?
Yes, that was the Friday night.
Yeah, let's avoid that. Let's make Tuesdays a better experience than that Friday with the Orioles when they came to town. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll talk some Texans, mostly because we're going to start seeing guys getting cut. Cuts are happening. We'll see if there's a surprise name for the Texans as they whittle down their roster to 53. I didn't think there would be much to come out of the game against the Lions, considering the fact that no one of really any importance played. Christian Harris got in there. That was great to see that he is ambulatory, can play football. Damon Pierce was out there. But could the big story be how could they possibly let John Weeks go? I think so. Out of all the things that came out of it, because I can pretend to care that Graham Mertz had a good day. I'm not going to. I could pretend to care that Cornell Powell had a good day, the guy they picked up off the street. Not going to. But I posed a question, and Sean, I'm going to give you a chance to think about it before we go to break. If the 49ers were open to it, would you give up a third or fourth round pick to get John Weeks back? If I told you that bad snaps would cost you 2 games. So is a third or fourth round pick worth two wins? Think about it. Because you draft them third or fourth round, you're expecting to get a pretty good player. Just put that in your back pocket, think about it and see. Would you trade? If I told you John Weeks was going to come in and be perfect like he's always been for the Texans, or you have to deal with the apparent reality that we're not going to get a John Weeks type of performance from, well, if it's Blake Ferguson, who wasn't even the starter, Brinkman was the guy who was the starter throughout training camp at long snapper, and they bring him Ferguson, he wasn't very good. Contemplate, Sean. We'll see how you value for draft picks, because you know people love themselves some draft picks. All right, we will have Sean's answer on the other side. We'll give away some Cougar Stephen F. Austin tickets today. The Cougs start their season on Thursday against Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks, so we'll give away tickets for that. So stay tuned if you want to go out and see Willie Fritz and the Cougs in action. Willie Fritz will be joining John and Lance starting tomorrow. So Willie Fritz, second year with the Cougs. Recruiting is going well. We'll see if he can build off last season and start to live up to, not that I'm really putting pressure on him, I'm just saying what he's known as is a program builder. So year two, when you're starting a new job and building a program is an important one, because now everything you believe in is in. Everyone knows what to expect. We'll see if year two we see a jump with the Cougs, and we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to their first game coming up here. As I said, we'll get to the Texans when we come back. And me and Sean till noon, followed by Paul Gallant and then Mikhail Beast.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I haven't seen any Texans cuts as of yet, but teams are cutting players in advance of Tuesday's deadline. It'll be in the afternoon where you got to get down to 53 players, so we'll see Texans cuts at some point here. D'Amico Ryans was asked after the game about a couple players who may affect some roster spots because maybe they're not available for week one and maybe longer than that. He was asked about Joe Mixon and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and he was this typical D'Amico self. Everyone's on a different timeline. We'll evaluate more next week, so on and so forth. So we still await answers on those guys. So while the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson news was good, that it wasn't as bad as we thought, I don't think they're playing week one. Of course, if they pop on and they're in pads for the couple practices they have before they go away a little bit this week and then come back for prep, of course I'll be wrong. But it all feels like be ready for the Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, Damian Pierce show in at least week one, and some MJ Stewart, Russ Yee stuff for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I don't expect, just because of how I've seen the injuries handled and the timeline for return, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson appears to be closer. At least he's out there. But we don't even see Joe Mixon on a bike anywhere. Like, sometimes an injured guy will put on, like, one of those catapult vests.
Yeah.
And they'll just do stuff to stay in shape. The man hasn't been seen near Texans practice for a long time.
On the sideline.
So how long does it take for him to acclimate back to getting ready? We all hear there's football shape and then there's just regular in shape. Now, Joe Mixon, veteran, all those things. He knows how to get himself ready. But it appears like Joe Mixon particularly is someone that the wait for his return is probably longer than we thought. Because we're not even sure what the actual injury is, other than it's something to do with his lower body. So I would not expect to see him in week one.
Yeah, I think he's more likely to be on the pup
list. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think we're talking about a month plus.
Probably. It feels like it.
Then we are week one. So, yeah, I think that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has a better chance of being ready. I mean, if not for week one, just relatively soon. In September. Mixon. I don't know if we're getting him before October.
And the injury would have to be, explained and told us. And I guess you're telling us how it occurred, because we're at a point where we know he was hobbled last year because of hip drop tackles and just the regular ebbs and flows of playing a football game and then playing the entire year. We know he dealt with injuries last year, but the last time we saw him, he was available for a playoff game.
Yeah.
And then now we're talking, it appears, going into a season without him being ready. So I imagine when he's forced to actually give word on Joe Mixon, that news will come out. But until he has to, D'Amico Ryans won't.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll hear anything about the injury, really. And besides D'Amico Ryans being like, still waiting. You know, he's doing well. He's just going to be out for another month. But he's doing well.
I do think...
Do you care about how he's doing, or do you just want to see him back on the field? We'll get some finger wagging from D'Amico.
Depending on who asked the question, maybe?
Yes.
And how it's asked?
And then we'll get either when, you know, he gets, whether he returns, gets activated, we'll probably get a little bit more light shed on it. Because Joe Mixon will talk to the media at some point, and someone will ask him
how this thing occurred. Yeah.
Or if he gets shut down for the season, we'll probably hear more about it.
That's a bleak thought.
Well, it just that is the other thing that would necessitate them to explain.
Well, if he gets put on the PUP, there will be an injury designation, and then we'll know.
Yeah,
I don't think you can just go
ankle.
You can't go lower extremity on the PUP. That you actually have to designate what it is.
Right leg.
Yes. Maybe that's all. Right foot, maybe. Whether they tell us how it happened.
Yeah. I think they only have to say, like, foot, ankle. Yeah. Like, they don't have to say Jones fracture or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe that would come from, like, the Adam Schefters or the Aaron Wilsons of the world when they break the news, and then the Texans will be pissy about that news getting out. We've gone through that this summer. So we'll see there. But, yeah, it looks like Joe Mixon
did not break his foot.
Yeah, maybe we'll get that. Maybe we will get one of those again, depending on who reports it first, if it turns out that they're wrong. But at this point, do not expect Joe Mixon back. At least, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I do not expect him back.
Yeah.
Whether you expect him back is different. I don't expect him back for week one, and maybe it goes beyond that. So I asked a question before we went to break. Sean, if I told you that missed kicks due to bad snaps could cost the Texans a couple games, would you be willing to pry John Weeks away from the 49ers if they got a little stingy about it and said, hey, it's going to cost you a fourth, not a third. It'll cost you a fourth round pick to get John Weeks back.
I think no doubt about it. I think third round. I also say yes.
Even a third, because if it's two games. So third round.
Two games. Like you're talking about they either win, you know, the last 2 years.
Eight or nine games. Or 10 or 11.
Eight,
yeah.
Which means you either win your division.
Or maybe you miss the playoffs.
Below 500.
Yeah.
So I think it, yeah. Especially a day three pick. Once you get to like round two, it gets like a little tougher. It becomes more like team to team.
Sure.
Of like what those two wins actually do for you, where it's like for some teams, like two extra wins, like cool. Instead of winning five, we won seven. Sick, thanks. But for the Texans, it's like, I mean, it could be whether they win the division or not, whether on the high end they get a bye or get the two seed or not. So I think that you would do that, but.
Now, two games is an extreme amount to lose because of long snapping, or in this case, just snapping. So, yes, I actually don't believe they're going to lose two games strictly because of bad snaps, at least that are visible to the eye. One was a bad snap that was clear to everyone. Now, there are things, the intricacies of snapping a football back to the holder, some things we won't know by just watching, like, but a special teams guy will tell you the revolver, like, the laces should hit the holder's hand in a certain way so it doesn't force him to spin the ball, stuff like that. So they notice that stuff. We won't. So maybe it will be something. Blake Ferguson, who was the guy doing the snapping on Saturday, he was a guy who spent his career with the Dolphins. I think he was there for 4 or 5 years before he got ill last year, and then they had to replace him, and then they didn't bring him back. There was a time that his kicker had trouble kicking longer field goals. Once he got ill and was replaced, all of a sudden the kicker went back to being clutch and making 50-yard field goals. I can't say that Blake Ferguson was a part of the problem. I don't know. The Dolphins also fired their special teams coach. So, well, this past offseason, he was a part of the team last year when the guy made all the kicks. Blake Ferguson wasn't. I don't know. I just know what I remember from his time there. There were some issues with their kicker missing kicks. They never expressly blamed it on Blake Ferguson, but now he was the guy snapping. Yes, Saturday, Brinkman was a guy who had the job. Not sure that where that stands now. I was always pretty comfortable with John Weeks snapping, even if he was making $1 million a year.
Yeah,
I'm sure they decided, hey, we can find a cheaper long snapper that does a great job. Maybe that was just a blip. And maybe Brinkman, if he is the one who wins the job, he'll be fine. Because Blake Ferguson only snapped on Saturday and wasn't good.
Long snapping is tough because it's one of those things where it's like when it's bad, everyone's like,
everyone.
That's bad.
That's bad, yeah.
How do you get a good one? No idea. No,
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. As long as I don't see the holder reaching at his shoulder, I feel like it's a good snap.
Yeah, yeah. I always think it's crazy when the broadcaster will just, like, as the play happens live, will just go low snap on that one. I'm like, I can never, unless it bounces before it gets to the holder. I can't tell. I can tell high snap or not just because, like, the range of motion's a little bit easier to tell. But, like, a low snap versus, you know, a muff, like, the holder kind of muffing it. Or, like, it happens so fast and I'm not attuned to, like, what is good and what is bad. Never mind, like, what's good and what's perfect. Like, the difference, like, you're talking about where, like, the laces should hit the holder. Like, I could not even begin to tell you what goes into that. I would constantly change. Like, every time a long snapper screws up, I'd be like, all right, give me a new one. Give me a new one until we find John Weeks, and then we'll keep him for 20 years.
I can't remember the last time a bad snap, a legitimate, okay, clear to everyone, that's a bad snap, cost anyone a game. Like, of course, Tony Romo dropped the snap. The Giants way back against the 49ers, there's a bad snap. But as far as a bad snap actually costing someone a game,
Michigan State in 2016?
Was that
was more
a drop punt, right?
Yeah. The punter kind of, but it was high.
Yeah, I guess I should have
2 seconds left,
been more specific. An NFL game.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember the last time. And thankfully, that was just a preseason game. And look, Blake Ferguson was just signed that week, so maybe he was still getting back into the mold.
Yeah,
getting back into that whole snapping in games that matter or somewhat matter was only the preseason. But I'd prefer not to worry about it. It's something I just assume would always go well because John Weeks made me assume that way, assume that because he always laid out the perfect snap, at least from the unentrained eye.
Yeah, the layman's.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe Frank Ross was yelling at John Weeks all of last year, and that's why he's now no longer part of the team. But
what happened after he snapped it, and once, you know, Matt Amendola got his foot on it, that different story.
Yeah. When the guy's filling in for Kaimi, I can't speak to it.
Yeah.
But when I saw good snaps, I felt like we got our guy. We had our guy for years. Now we don't. And
to save a couple dollars.
Maybe John Weeks didn't want to be in Houston anymore. Greed. Maybe he decided, you know what, I've been here for a decade plus now. I wanna stretch out. I wanna go play on the West Coast. I don't know.
Sow my wild oats.
In San Francisco. I don't know what he's about. I just know that he's no longer here. And it appeared to be a problem on Saturday.
You didn't see eye to eye with Frank Ross?
Who knows why John Weeks isn't here anymore? We just assume it's about money, but we haven't really investigated. You don't know. You don't know why he's not here.
I don't know.
So hopefully that won't be a problem, whether it be Ferguson or Brinkman, whoever they decide on. Maybe they'll pull a guy off the street because they're not happy with either one of those guys as cuts start to happen. So that's probably the most eventful thing, unless you care quite a bit about Graham Mertz.
Graham Mertz was dealing.
Sure he was. Against the Lions team who decided for the entire preseason, we're never going to play anyone that's consequential. Except for the Arkansas receiver who did the worm. He's everyone's new favorite. He's caught another touchdown. I'm sure it helps that he's white.
The worm plays.
Yeah.
The worm has a touchdown celebration. Look, it's funny.
Nothing NFL Twitter media loves more than the white wide receiver making a play.
Or doing a funny dance.
Or the funny dance that comes with it, yeah. He caught a touchdown in his previous preseason game. He caught a touchdown against the Texans and then did the worm. The worm we haven't seen in a while.
I think as a celebration, as a touchdown celebration, or a sack celebration, honestly, I think it plays. I think there's a place.
Do you want to see it? Yeah, it plays for that guy to do it. Like, I don't want Nico doing it.
Daniil Hunter doesn't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he, no. Like, the star of camp, the star of training camp should do the worm.
Yeah.
The star of the team doesn't do the worm.
The lovable guy that we get to know in the Hard Knocks gets to do the worm.
Yes, that's the guy.
Buffalo Joe gets to do the worm.
But Isaac Tesla, you can do the worm.
Yeah.
Amara St. Brown, don't do the worm. You've got your own headstand celebration.
The headstand. I mean, it is the headstand for the, I'll say, less coordinated or maybe less athletic.
Sure.
I think there's room in the NFL for, you know, I'm trying to think of someone.
So who, I don't I don't know if Isaac Tesla is going to be the third receiver.
Braxton Berrios does the worm.
I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to do it, but maybe.
Justin Watson, then.
He might not make. He's probably not making the team. Damn it, looks like. For all the talk about how excited people were about Justin Watson, look at that.
Turns out
he falls in line with Ben Skoranek from last year, where people were like, "Oh, I can't believe they got that demon." Doesn't make the team. So we'll see how that goes. But so if we look at the Lions receiver celebrations, you've got Amara St. Brown, the headstand. You've got Tesla, the worm, and you got Jameson Williams sex acts after he scores touchdowns.
I mean, they got it all covered.
They got it all covered. And the worm, depending on how you look at it, could be 1-2.
When it starts, you're like, wait, is he doing the Jameson Williams? Oh, no, he's doing the worm.
Yeah, so they've got it all. I don't know if he'll be the number three, but if he is the number three wide receiver.
When they're throwing touchdowns to their swing tackles, I need that guy to also do something.
Yeah, we'll see without Ben Johnson if they keep doing that.
Dan Skipper's doing.
Yeah, the Lions have had some turnover, but they're still going to be pretty good. And now they may have another receiver to count on going into the regular season. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We had college football. We actually had college football games. So we're going to bring back the misery index. And whether it was near misery or complete misery throughout the game, that turned into relief. We had limited games, but we have ample opportunity to talk about some of the fan bases who can't be thrilled with what happened over the weekend. So we'll get to that when we come back. We'll also play some sound that I found disturbing yet funny because Nick Saban's assistants called him daddy. Now, the question is, did they go daddy or, you know, how Stephon Diggs, those girls called him daddy? I refuse to do it the way they did it because I don't need that being saved. Or is it like a southerner, daddy, like Righteous Gemstones? Did they call him daddy? Or do they have another variation? Because not all those coaches are from the South. I feel like Kirby Smart would be one who said, daddy. We'll hear that sound. At least not, well, we won't hear Kirby Smart. Because if Kirby Smart had been recorded calling him daddy, then he would never get a head coaching job. Yeah, we'll hear
he would
the
never know his name.
No, we would hear the story. We're going to hear the story probably in the second hour. How it's told and included in that is some dirty, dirty recruiting. Because when it comes to Arch Manning, Alabama really wanted him, and they went to lengths that you wouldn't expect one friend to do to another friend. So we'll talk about that. But first, before we get to that, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Simply put, if you need a good plumber, go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. In fact, not just good. If you need a great plumber, go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And they're diverse. Whether you got a small problem or a big problem, they help you get the job done. Because for the most part, we don't know how to fix a plumbing problem. I know I don't. So if I'm going to get help, I'm going to call Billy Brown and the guys at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That number is 281-488-6238. So water heater issues, leak issues. Maybe you need a full-on remodel. Maybe you need a repipe because you're in an older home and those pipes are corroding. And when you get corrosion, you got real problems. Your water gets bad, stinky, smelly. All of it's a problem. And, of course, we assume when we turn on the water, it's going to be clean, and it's going to be something you can use to cook with, to wash your clothes with, to take your baths and showers with. We expect that, and the people at Aqueduct Plumbing will make that certainly a foregone conclusion. So, aqueductplumbingcompany.com is the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. And for those who get happy when players get paid, we've got breaking news, Sean. Terry McLaurin gets his money from the Commanders. Lots and lots of money for Terry McLaurin. The guy, I don't know if they do that where they go, he's Mr. Commander. The guy you would think of when you think of Commanders football because no one has thought about them until Jaden Daniels got drafted. But he has been the good soldier for years now. If we're talking about actually just solid guys, he was the one with the Commanders. Maybe Jonathan Allen as well before he moved on this past offseason. But he gets a 3-year extension worth $96 million. So there are questions about whether Terry McLaurin at his age was a $30 million wide receiver. Those have been answered. He is a $30 million a year wide receiver. Terry McLaurin gets his money. And Jaden Daniels gets his guy back, I imagine. This is the right time. He's 29 years old. He'll turn 30 on September 15th. The right time. Terry McLaurin, I'm sure, was still in shape. He's been around the team more of a hold than anything else. Get yourself prepped and ready to go. About a little less than 2 weeks before the season begins, probably the right time to get it done as Terry McLaurin gets back with the Commanders. So the team who was in the NFC title game, in a surprise, gets their best weapon back for Jaden Daniels. So that's out of the way. We'll see if Henderson or Micah get their deals done before the season begins. All right. We did actually have games that meant something. College football started. We got a perfect game, for this show at least. Kansas State and Iowa State were at it in Dublin. 11 a.m. kickoff here. You had a messy field. You had Chris Klieman blaming that messy field and the weather. You had offensive coordinators deciding inside the 10-yard line in bad conditions to run pitches. That was what Iowa State did when they were about to score a touchdown. Dylan Edwards, the former Colorado player who's now at Kansas State, he jumped on the scene big against TCU when Colorado was supposed to be bad. They turned out to be bad, but that was Deion's first year. Dylan Edwards had a big game in that game. He fumbled, he muffs a punt, and then doesn't return. Big loss for Kansas State. Good ball game. May go a long way into determining the Big 12 race. Those are two ranked teams, as we talked about last week. It ends 24-21. Kansas State, what they went for, Iowa State went for, was it on 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-short? They predicted the blitz, got the ball out, got a first down. They win the game. They run out the clock. But that's not really the story from the game. Sure, two top 25 Big 12 opponents play each other. Maybe the winner, that, which was Iowa State, they go on to a great year and play in the Big 12 title game and maybe make the playoff. Kansas State certainly has their opportunity to come back from that. Of course, the story was the starting quarterback for Kansas State's brother and dad getting into a fight with each other. Like, you could understand if they went out to knock some Iowa State heads around because they were talking a lot after the game. Let's go fight them. Nah, yeah. We got beef between each other. Let's fight. I was thinking about it. Like, as a teenager, at some point your dad's going to make you mad. It's just the way of growing up. Not once in my life did I ever consider. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen for people, but not once in my life did I ever consider throwing a punch. Never. Now, Avery Johnson's brother is older than a teenager.
Yeah, I'm looking up the age.
But I can't think of a moment. Look, I've been angry with my dad. It's just, like I said, growing up. But the thought of taking a swing at him and actually getting into a real fight? Never. Never. Even as you get older, when, you know, I'm a grown man, you can't talk to me that way. Still, it's not happening. Not happening. But to do it in the streets of Dublin?
I think that plays
an international a part. Incident?
I think that plays a part.
The fact that they are in a foreign country that you think that's their first fight? I don't think it's their first fight. The fighting Maybe when not. You're both easily identifiable because you're both wearing Avery Johnson jerseys. You're the father and brother of the starting quarterback. Everyone knows you. Like, okay, here in Houston, we're not going to know who Connor Wegman's dad and brother are, if that's a scenario where he actually has a brother. I would know that. But the people in Manhattan, Kansas, they're going to know. And the people who travel to Dublin for the game, they're going to know who Avery Johnson's father and brother are.
Yeah, yeah. Word's going to get out that's the brother and dad of...
fighting each other.
That are tussling on the ground, too. Not even like...
It wasn't a stand. They took it to the ground.
It wasn't like a professional sports fight where they're just kind of pushing and like getting in each other's face.
And someone's there to keep them apart.
No, they're like grappling.
Yeah, it's not a thing I've ever seen.
I cannot. I I know it's Avery Johnson's older brother.
Yes.
That's all I got. I cannot verify an age on Anthony Johnson.
Neither can I. I haven't been able to find that anywhere. I don't know if there's a – I don't believe there was a police report, so we're not gonna have an age on hand.
I will say from the New York Post write-up of this, in the viral video of the altercation, a female voice can be heard saying, "Anthony, stop. This is embarrassing as bleep."
And that female voice, absolutely right.
I'm also going to guess absolutely either the wife or mother in this scenario.
So Anthony is the brother's name, right? Or is that the dad's name?
I believe so. Let me double check. Because it does get confused.
Who is she telling to stop the fight?
Oh, no. Anthony is the brother.
So, okay. She's telling the brother to stop.
So, I assume that's the brother's wife. Or a sister. Just blind guess. I'm going to guess that.
Yeah.
And if she said Mark, the dad's name, I would have said...
That's the wife.
That's Mark's wife.
Or girlfriend, whatever the situation is. Yeah, I would agree. You're talking to someone...
This is embarrassing as bleep.
Who you have...
I can, like, hear the tone without hearing the clip.
I heard it. And yes, it does sound like someone that's living with him and in some type of relationship is telling him to cut it out.
Another voice can be heard saying, quote, "Dad, stop."
Okay. That might have been a sister.
How many Johnson kids are there?
There's a lot, apparently. And apparently dad has an issue with one. Yeah, KJ tweeted me, like, fighting on the wet, or texted me, fighting on the wet ground in a puddle of water.
Yeah, that too.
There are a lot of things going on. Like, sure,
again, people
like, people are talking about alcohol. Sure, I imagine, yes, alcohol was involved. Yeah. But there's got to be some deep-seated thing. It can't just be because your son and or brother didn't get a chance to lead a game-winning drive.
Someone said something.
It couldn't have been just about the football game. That might have set it off.
Hey, take it easy on Avery. Boom, boom, boom. No,
there's a long-standing thing that got thrown out to the public.
I will say,
on Saturday afternoon.
In their statement where they sincerely apologized, they said, "We regret this incident, have learned from it."
No, you haven't.
"And we are committed to ensuring that it doesn't happen again."
You didn't learn from anything. No one learns from it that quickly. Stop it.
Okay, so you're not deciding to please accept their deepest apologies.
I don't believe either one of them wrote it. There's some thought that was a chat GPT apology.
I think it's at least from Avery's agent. I think that's who crafted this. Or who at least decided that this needed to be crafted. Who actually crafted it, only the Lord knows.
Yes.
But
To your point, the fact that Avery Johnson's a starter led to that apology. If Avery Johnson was a backup quarterback, the third stringer, no apologies being made.
Yeah.
Because there's no one with any sense that thinks they need to get out ahead of this and have that apology written. I don't buy any of it. I don't think anything's been learned. I don't think that's apology coming from either one of those guys. I think that is someone who thinks they have Avery Johnson's best interest at heart that wants to squash this thing. But you can't squash something when the father and brother, the starting quarterback, are fighting each other in a puddle of water in Dublin. It can't be squashed. It'll be part of college football lore forever. It's not ever going away. In fact, Farmageddon is the nickname for that rivalry. The Avery Johnson, Mark Johnson, is that the father's name?
Mark is the dad, yes.
Mark Johnson and Anthony Johnson. That fight will become part of Farmageddon lore.
Father Geddon,
thank you. or Family Geddon, whatever you want to call it. It'll be part of what we talk about with this rivalry forever. Like message boards, I don't know if Avery Johnson will be in college next year. I mean, he was fine on Saturday. I'm not sure he's going to the pros, but that might be in his future here after 2025. If he's back for 2026, it'll always be a topic on every message board, every show that's talking about it that isn't like one of the like national shows. Like I'm talking like a podcast show, not like ESPN. They probably won't bring it up on game day. Maybe Pat McAfee would. But as far as the normal broadcasters, they're probably not going to bring it up. But anyone who's in the world of podcasting, when they talk about Kansas State, Iowa State, will talk about this. And I thank the Johnson family for it. Appreciate you.
I really am.
Appreciate it. We weren't going to get to Misery Index, but this story took over because how could it not?
I think that's fine. This deserved to stand alone. And, yeah, when they go at Arizona and at Baylor, I bet it gets mentioned.
Do you believe?
I bet it gets
mentioned. Yeah, when they're on the road, there will be probably a screenshot of that fight when they're both in that puddle on a poster board.
Yes.
Yeah.
In McLean Stadium somewhere.
Yes. It's never.
Disappointed if there wasn't.
Avery Johnson's not getting away from this.
They go to Kansas, too.
That's. Yeah, the Johnson family and the quarterback is never getting away from this. Just how college football works. And no matter what type of apology they'll give.
Do one of the dad or brother need not an official suspension.
From where? The games?
Yeah, just like, does Avery need to be like, hey guys, just when we play, I forgot, I already took down their schedule, but when we play Northern Arizona next week, I'm good. I'm good if only one of you are there.
If I'm Avery Johnson, I don't want either one of them in the building, but he probably can't do that. So, guys.
Hey, chill out.
All I'm asking, please, when we're up, hopefully for
or
their,
stagger it, where only one of them are in the stadium. At
maybe
the same time.
Maybe you don't sit in the same section.
Yeah, sit up.
Maybe.
Like they're a wife and a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the dad and his girl or wife sits. And Avery's mom, possibly, I don't know, sits in one spot, and the brother and his girl, wife, girlfriend, whatever, sits someplace else. You got enough of a family section where you don't have to sit next to each other. Just do that. I don't need any shots of you sitting next to each other anymore.
Oh man, I hope. I mean, it doesn't look like they'll be playing another like huge, massive game. Where maybe if they make like the Big 12 title game, although they are 0-1 right now in the Big 12.
Sure.
But there's no game where, like, you know how they always do the cutaway shot to the quarterback's parents in the bigger games? Like,
yeah.
In the bigger matchups, you get, like, them wearing the team jersey.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they're just not going to do that for Avery Johnson games now? Here's Mark Johnson here cheering on his son.
To your point, I think it all depends on the level of game. Like some games don't need
no,
a flash to the father or mother when the game's going on. I think if they do kind of fix not the family issues, but like fix their football issues and
Chris
figure
Kleiman gets things under
yeah,
control.
Not
Avery.
Yeah, not Avery. But if Chris Kleiman can figure some things out and they go on to have a really good year and they wind up in some big games down the stretch, maybe eventually a Big 12 title game, yeah, they'll flash to the Johnson family and we will see if we can identify the father and the brother sitting next to each other or anywhere near each other. And frankly,
one of them's got a black eye.
Depending on how clever or how much or how much the announcer in question thinks of his job status,
mm-hmm.
that will determine if someone makes reference to the fight.
Oh.
Like, depending on who it is.
You know who's covering games for Fox who broadcasts a lot of Big 12 games? He's the number two guy on Fox, the number two team.
Who's the number two?
One, Robert Griffin III.
He's back?
Yeah. He'll be doing Fox games.
Oh, if he's doing K-State games, he's going to crowbar
it's like
it in.
Perfect, yeah. Where it's like, yeah, he's on the second team. So the Klatt and Johnson will do the Big Noon Ohio State game.
Sure.
Or Penn State. And then, or maybe Michigan. And then the next game will be the best Big 12 game, more or less.
And K-State will...
will be in the mix.
Be in the mix for that, yeah.
A certain week, they'll be there. And yeah, you'll have Robert Griffin III trying to think of a way to go viral by talking about... Mark and Anthony Johnson.
He will probably, it'll be something along the line of Jace Brown really laid out for that pass from Avery Johnson.
Yeah.
Like Avery or Johnson's dad laid out his brother.
Do they play a Friday night game?
Yeah.
Friday night fights here.
Yeah. He is the perfect guy for that because we've heard his act on ESPN.
We're familiar with this.
Yeah, game. It'll be perfect. All right. We'll get to the Misery Index when we come back. We'll also give away tickets to the Cougs. We will hope that no matter what happens against Stephen F. Austin, there is no Connor Wegman dad versus his brother scenario.
No.
Because the game's in Houston, not even in Dublin. So, you know, less Guinness to go around, right? So no one will be as obliterated drunk. Not that I know that's the reason why this happened. But, you know, more alcohol, possibly leads to incidents like this. Let's hope that Connor Wegman and the rest of the Cougs have a smooth night in their season opener. No viral videos unless they just go crazy against Stephen F. Austin in the game. So we'll give away tickets to that when we come back, and we'll also do the misery index as well, because UNLV must have been miserable throughout the game, but Idaho State may be just miserable after the game. So we'll talk about that. But first, Sean, I was thinking about this. In some ways, your co-workers was Joe Budden and Drewski.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because
I'm talking about Prize Picks with Drewski, with Joe Budden. We all had a team bonding this weekend, and, you know, I felt like I know them, but now I know them on a much deeper level. You know, I mean, they've been texting me all day during the show. If I seem distracted, that's why. But yeah, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's the best time. I mean, we're talking about college football all show today, and no, they don't have, you know, more or less on fights from family members and dirty Irish puddles. They don't have that yet on Prize Picks, but if you want to watch a game and make a little money with that knowledge, you can do it on Prize Picks, where, again, week one of the college football season's coming up, and if what we saw in Ireland is any indication, might be some sloppy play, might be some interceptions. I've been eyeballing some half over or more of a half of an interception. I think we probably got an interception in Arch Manning. I think we got an interception Julian Sain in this game. Really, these big games against good defenses like both Texas and Ohio State have. I think this first time starter can turn over the ball, and we on this show we've covered Garrett Nussmeier's propensity in big games to turn the thing over. Maybe you think he throws an interception against Clemson, and you put that in a lineup, and you're on your way to making some money on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.